We do not have an agenda or itinerary for any of our coaching calls. This is purely Q&A of what you're having challenges with or questions or concerns or brags or recommendations. We always like product recommendations too. So that being said, I think I got all the announcements done. And my name is Sarah. I am your puppy coach. I'm going to go ahead and start my stopwatch and I will turn it over to you guys. What is going on? Questions, concerns, comments? Don't be shy.
Sarah, I'm happy to kick it off. I think my little munchkin is a teenager because she is 18 weeks, 19 weeks, something like that. But the reason why I think that, and I don't know if she actually is, but the reason why I think that is because the last two nights she has started waking up in the middle of the night, which has not been her MO since we've gotten her. We were so lucky since we got her at 10 weeks. She's been sleeping through the night from like 10 to 6, 10 to 7, which is amazing.
Nice.
Now we're getting payback though. So when she wakes up, she's in a crate in our room. She has a cover over it. When she wakes up, we take her out, don't give her any treat. If she goes potty, great, wonderful, bring her back inside. Don't talk to her, don't play with her, put her straight back in. The problem that we're having though is that she will whine in her crate for this morning. It was for 45 minutes at like 4 a.m. And it's this like sad, insufferable whine, not this like, get me out of here. It's like, I want to come in bed with you guys. And we are not letting her do that in the night, like not happening. So I imagine that we're doing the right thing, like just hold strong. But I had this thought of like, do we move her crate like into the hallway? So like we can maybe sleep when this happens. Or what do you recommend?
Okay, so I guess first I will ask, of course she finds the noisiest toy to bring in here.
Really, puppyhead?
I'm going to turn that off. If I can find the on-off button.
I was going to say, speaking of product recommendations, what is that?
This is a very old, almost destroyed. I actually just posted it's, I've had some posts on the Facebook page with it, but it's Z Hyper Pet. And it's, it normally has a tail that has been ripped off. And inside it's got this little vibration activated ball that says things, and it also vibrates. So it bounces around. Really great to have them, you know, prey drive, kill that rodent. And it does have an on off button that I'm failing to find, but they're only like $16. We get them on Amazon and the dogs love them, but they are noisy. Okay. Turned off. All right. So I would say, first of all, is when she's waking up middle of the night, is it closer to kind of morning, get up breakfast time?
3:20 in the morning is like sort of smack in the middle. But okay. I would say the other day it was at like 4:30.
Okay.
We generally wake up at like 6:15, 6:30. So it's, I would say closer to that time. Yes.
Okay. Are you really religious and strict about what time she's getting breakfast?
No, I just
good
whenever I feel like it.
Good. Okay.
And then I don't do anything in the morning. Like I remember there was somebody else on one of these calls who was like, I take the dog for a walk every single morning, like when they wake up. And I remember your feedback was like, great, but now the dog is excited for something. And that's, we're fortunate that like, she doesn't have like a set routine like that. Okay. I think she's like, once she wakes up and like wants to go out, then now she's like, oh, my people are 5 feet away from me and I want to go snuggle with them.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's good. So it's not we're just kind of going through the process of elimination here. So that's good because yes, if we're always really rigid about feeding them breakfast, like at 6:30 in the morning, every single morning, right away when we wake up, they're going to expect that and their internal clock can start getting shifted back earlier and earlier with that expectation and hope that it's time for breakfast. So you're not doing that. So that's good. And that's not what it is. When you're taking her out to potty in the middle of the night, is she always going potty?
Mm-hmm.
She is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like a full bladder's worth or?
I'd say like half, three quarters. Okay. Like it's, she's not going out there because she wants to like necessarily play. Like she doesn't get outside and she's like, let me like run around like a wild woman. I genuinely think she has to go, but it's that she's not settling again once we put her back,
uh-huh,
back in.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I am wondering, you know, two other questions. Mm-hmm. Think about whether anything has changed in your routines before you're going to bed and before she's going to bed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are you having a really big play session where she's immediately going and drinking a ton of water before going to bed? Mm-hmm. So kind of play detective.
Yeah, you know what? We used to take her water bowl away at like 8 o'clock because she will freaking drink the whole bowl. And so maybe we need to go back to like that. So she doesn't wake up in the middle of the night anymore.
I would say, yeah, maybe, you know, and I'm always hesitant to say this because we don't want to be taking water sources away.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But maybe just, you know, like say, you know, if you go to bed normally at 10, that you're taking the water bowl up at like 9:30, so that she's got a chance to get a drink, and even if you have a play session with her and she's a little thirsty, you can always give her some ice cubes. That's fun. And that can kind of quench some thirst without filling her bladder. That's one idea. And also, you might want to take a pee sample into the vet or have her go into the vet, do a little urinalysis. The easiest thing when we're having a problem with house training or something's changed with our house training, always suspect a UTI. It's an easy, inexpensive thing to rule in or rule out. And a lot of people will think, you know, either vice versa of, well, they have no problems during the day and they're holding it, or they're sleeping through the night. So why am I having problems during the day? But UTIs are not necessarily, you know, it's not an equation to incontinence. A lot of times it's just the frequency and the urgency of how much we need to pee. Mm-hmm. So maybe just do that to be on the safe side, to rule that in or out. Yeah. If you did put her crate in the hallway or et cetera, I have a feeling it's gonna be even louder.
Okay.
Because that's completely a departure from her normal routine, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that you're not wanting her in the bed, I get it.
Yeah, like, can we just give in? Because she will just sleep. She wants to burrow herself underneath all the covers and just sleep there. I just feel like our old dog used to sleep in our bed and I have no problem, like, with it as, like, an idea. But I don't want to, like, revert our crate training so that when we do take her upstairs for a nap, she's like, hell no, am I sleeping in there. I want to go sleep in your bed.
Uh-huh. And that's what I was going to say. So, because it sounds like, I'm guessing that you have had like, we're going to watch TV and snuggle, or there have been times where
couch, but not upstairs,
Okay. Okay, good. Because then you're being consistent with that, because sometimes when people are like, it's Saturday morning, so you can come into bed and now snuggle with us, or we're going to have a Netflix night, you can come up and snuggle and watch movies. It's hard for dogs to differentiate that. It can be a slippery slope. So I am thinking that, I mean, because you're doing all the right steps, start with taking her to the vet and ruling in or ruling out a UTI, and then also taking the water bowl.
We'll try the water bowl thing first. I think we could also have the opportunity to take her out a little bit later, like, you know, 30 minutes later, and And then of course, if she's still kids waking up at random times during the night, we would absolutely take her to the vet.
Yeah.
It's only been 2 days. So I just hopped on because I had the time. So.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So start there. And if those solve the problem, great. If they don't, then we'll do a little bit more detective work and I'll give you some other ideas. But I have a feeling those two things are going to solve it.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it as always.
Sure. All right. What else is going on, guys?
Hi, Sarah. It's Karina.
Hi.
So first I want to tell you, thank you so much for last Thursday with the tagline with my Connie Corso. That works so well. Yes. He's taken to that very well. But we have another problem where we have three oversized beds for the dogs to sleep on, their own little beds in the living room. He keeps peeing on those. He's not really having accidents in the house so much. He's doing pretty good with the house breaking. But he'll just walk up to it and pee on it. And I didn't think he was old enough to mark. I mean, he's only 12 weeks old. I'm not sure what would cause that or if you have any enlightenment on that.
Well, you are right that 12 weeks is pretty darn young to start marking behavior, but I guess it's not impossible. Mm-hmm. And especially just knowing Corsos that, you know, they are independent.
Yes.
And so you might just be kind of starting that independence and testing things a little bit young. So unfortunately for the other dogs to kind of put a curb on this problem, momentarily, temporarily, that you might need to kind of take dog beds away for a little bit.
Okay.
Make sure, you know, just kind of one of those out of sight, out of mind things. And then hopefully when they reappear in a couple of days, he's not going to remember it. Making sure that when you are cleaning them after he's peed on them now, mm-hmm. that I know the guts and the innards of the beds are very difficult to completely clean off.
Yes. But
the outside cover, when you're throwing that in the wash, I would go ahead and put some Nature's Miracle or Simple Solution in your wash with it.
Okay.
You're just making sure that you're getting rid of that smell. And it might just be, unfortunately, that the inner stuffing of the bed that he's still smelling that. And it's triggering him. So you can get just, you know, the Simple Solution and put it in a spray bottle, any of those enzymatic cleaners, and try to really saturate the inside of the bed just to get rid of the smell. Trying to think. And here's a recommendation as well for just kind of off on a tangent, but dog beds. My favorite dog beds are gooddogbeds.com. And they they're the best thing. And cost effectively, I mean, I have ones that have lasted me 8 years.
Oh, wow.
So the nice thing about them is that you can buy replacement covers for the outside. And for once, the dog beds have zippers that are big enough that it's easy to take the innards in and out for washing the outside cover. And the inside of these dog beds also has a zipper on the inside cover so that you can take, they sell replacement covers, replacement inner bags with zippers,
uh-huh.
And they also sell replacement stuffing.
Nice.
And their stuffing is actually chopped up furniture grade foam, so it doesn't mash up with body heat like some of the cedar or the cotton batting does.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got lots of cute fabrics too. So I'm kind of thinking that because 12 weeks is really young to be marking,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking he's smelling the pee on the inside.
Okay.
So don't know where you live, Karina. You can, you know, if it's really, really cold outside, but I have in a pinch even thrown mine into a bathtub and just spray them and spray them and spray them and spray them just to rinse out as much of the pea smell as I can. And then, you know, dumping an enzymatic cleaner on them as well. So I would start there with just trying to get rid of the smell on the beds. And just from you washing them, they're going to be kind of out of rotation for a little bit. So that out of sight, out of mind. Hopefully that will break him of it.
Okay.
And one thing you can do too, well, after you wash the beds, the insides and the outside, and you've done all this hard work to get them hopefully clean and un-urine smelled and to, you know, wait for them to dry. Mm-hmm. I've done this when I've had really old dogs that were battling whatever health issue or incontinence. The inside stuffing of the bed, I will take a garbage bag and put that over the inside stuffing and then put the cover back on.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So that way your hard work is not completely gone in a heartbeat.
Right, right. Because I've washed those covers. I'm washing them daily. And I mean, it's just, and then I didn't think about the stuffing on how to clean that. So I live in Arizona, so I could have them air dry outside. That's not a problem.
Here you go. Yeah. So I would start there because 12 weeks, it would be possible, but that's really young to be marking.
Right, so right. That's what I was thinking. Okay. Thank you so much.
Keep me posted. I'm curious about that.
Will do.
And I did put in the chat box the website for those beds.
Thank you.
I have a question. I have a 10-week-old puppy, and she has recently started sleeping through the entire night, like 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah,
it's wonderful, but I'm wondering, should I be waking her up in the middle of the night to take her out or let her sleep? Okay, so it's perfectly fine. Okay.
Yeah. Let sleeping dogs lie.
Okay, great.
As long as she's not having an accident in the street or etc., you count your blessings and you sleep peacefully. Yeah.
Okay. I'm happy to hear that. I do have one other question though. When we first brought her home, she was having a really tough time in the crate. So I thought it would be a good idea, maybe not, but I put her crate on our bed. And I was thinking about putting something that's elevated a little bit to kind of work her way down to the ground. Is that a good way to adjust her crate to the floor again? Just to kind of get her used to us.
So how long have you had her home now? I missed that. Sorry.
It's okay. 3 weeks.
Okay. You've had her for 3 weeks. So by now she is, she's acclimated, she's bonded to you, she's comfortable in her new house and the routine. The first couple nights, yes, we do say, go ahead and put the crate on your bed or, you know, nightstand depending on size of puppy, so that you can still sleep, but put your fingers in the crate. That can be really super helpful the first couple nights where there's a lot of things that have changed in their lives and it is scary. So, but now, yes, you want to be, you know, getting away from that habit.
Yeah. We've only had her crate on our bed for less than a week.
Okay.
So okay. I think that she's comfortable now. She hasn't barked or anything when she's in there. She's really good. So I was just thinking maybe just transitioning her, putting some type of table to hold her crate. So now she's not on the ground, but she's not on her bed, and then transition her to the floor.
I think that's a great plan.
Okay.
Because anytime we're doing things in little steps, it definitely helps our, you know, our learning curve and puppies. So I think that's a great plan. And then during the day, don't forget to be working on those crate training steps in your crate training modules so that you are actually having structured little training sessions to be working on crate training during the day.
Okay.
That's also, and have those sessions be with the crate on the floor.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So that way you are also building positive associations with it being on the floor and having her practice and learn that confidence of being on the floor in my crate. This is my bedroom.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I have it in her playpen too or not? Because she's getting big.
It depends on, usually you don't need to. The only time that we do suggest putting the crate in the X-Pen is for people who are having, you know, some puppies have a really hard time in X-Pens. They do lots of jumping around. They'll do lots of vocalizations in the X-Pen. So in those situations, then we do say, try to put the crate inside their X-Pen, because that way, when they are starting to pitch a little fit and whine or howl or bark, that way you can follow the steps with crate training and you just matter-of-factly pick them up, pop them in their crate, and if they start to quiet down, excellent. If they continue with their little pity party, then you can use the sheet to cover up their crate and follow those steps that we describe in the crate training modules.
Okay.
So you don't need to have the crate in the X-Pen.
Okay. She's actually doing really good in there during the day.
Good.
Yeah, we've been ignoring her when she starts barking and all that, just to let her know that that's not how to get our attention. So she's very quiet. So that's why I was wondering if maybe I should put the crate in there so she can lay in it during the day if she chooses to, or if that...
You always can, because I do like to encourage, you know, the crates are their bedrooms. Yeah. That is their safety zen place. That's what we want them to learn. And so if she is really enjoying her crate, go ahead and put it in there, because then she can go in her little den when she's wanting a nap. But she can also come out and have the rest of the X-Pen as kind of her little play area.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to try that.
Okay. Yep. And just don't forget to also employ the crate training sessions during the day so that the crate's on the floor.
All right.
That's going to help you with the transition.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sure. And I'm seeing in the chat box, Laura says, I finally found that hot dogs are the way to my dog's heart for crate training. Highly recommend. Yes, hot dogs are a great training tool.
Sarah, she's been able to last 25 minutes with only like one tiny piece of hot dog, like every 2 to 3 minutes, which is a major win for us.
Fantastic. That's a huge improvement. Great.
And she waits in there after I open the door, she just stands there and like wants more. So
excellent. Yeah. That's what we want. Yeah. And you can also take advantage of that too. That she's just standing there hoping that you're gonna rain more cookies into the top of the crate. But you can take advantage of that very polite behavior to teach her door manners with the crate of putting a keyword on it. Most people will use the word wait for doorways. So it's, even though I've got the door open, you need to wait for my permission to cross that threshold. That makes sense? So you can open the crate door all the way, tell her, wait, open the crate door. And she needs to wait there until you say, okay, or whatever release word that you want to use. That is a very nice command for dogs to know. Not only their crates at home, but crossing the threshold to go outside into the backyard, especially a good safety feature of when they're traveling with you and you're opening the car door and you need a chance to put their leash on. So you don't want them bolting out unleashed and off and loose, right? Take advantage of teaching a wait. That's a great thing. And I did put there's a video on the Facebook page of where I was working on that with Frankie. I was kind of working on two things of the door manners of waiting for permission to come out, but also she had started that she was perfectly fine and quiet in her crate. But then when I would get home and she knew that she was about to be released from her crate, she had started pawing on the crate door and doing a little bit of barking. I don't want that. So there is a video on the Facebook page of me working on that with her, of both being quiet. You need to be quiet before you're let out of the crate. And also you need to wait for me to open the door and say, okay, release word. All right. Put great notes on that. All right, what else is going on, guys? And Karina had signed up for this call, so I was, Caroline. I wanted to check in with her and see how her pogo stick trick was going that she was working on teaching her dog, since her dog was already a little jumping jack, springs in the leg dog. She decided to just put that behavior on cue and turn it into a trick. She's not here. All right. Anything else, guys? Well, and Laura, because you brought up hot dogs, other suggestions for training treats, I'll rattle off some of mine and then you guys can jump in, because it is easy to kind of get in a rut and to not be creative with treats. And when we are training, use a variety, keep mixing it up, because that keeps them high value. You know, just for example, I love vanilla ice cream, but if I had it every single day, vanilla ice cream is going to get kind of boring. So the same applies for our dogs. So other things or ideas for training treats, I do tend to use a lot of human grade food. Number one, higher quality, right? Food, human food grade standards. So we know the quality, they're usually cheaper. And less expensive than the prepackaged specific dog treats. And usually a lot of times they're a little healthier for our dogs too. So hot dogs, string cheese, my old standby that I use with really young puppies, squeeze cheese, in moderation, of course, everything's in moderation. And Braunschweiger for really, you need really high value. Braunschweiger can be excellent. And one of my favorites as well is that you go to the freezer section in the grocery store and you get prepackaged, pre-made meatballs. Hey, $10 for like a pound of meatballs, or even $8. And the nice thing is you can just take out, you know, 4 or 5 meatballs, put the rest of the package back in the freezer. Those 4 or 5 meatballs you can chop up, and those can last for a couple different training sessions. And also in the freezer section, I think it's like Tyson brand, but they will have packages of steak and chicken that are grilled and sliced. And I think they're supposed to be intended for fajitas. Honestly, I don't think I would make them for our dinners, but it's easy. And hey, it's just salt and pepper on the chicken or the steak option. And it's like $8 a bag for a pound of meat. Same thing. You can, they've got resealable tops on them. Take out a handful that you can thaw, put in your sandwich bag for your training treats, put the rest back in the freezer. And chicken, I mean, come on, chicken and steak, those are good motivators. And I just see in the chat box, meatballs, good idea. What about the onions in them? Most of the time, if you get, what is it? Traditional, they're pretty, I think that's what most of the companies package them as, of just traditional or home style. They are bland. There's not much in them. And so even if there is a little bit of onion in there, it's probably dehydrated onion powder and there's not much of it. So again, our training treats are in moderation, so it should be fine. Never had a problem. Because there's garlic in them too, right? But it's not a whole lot. Okay. Yay, Amy, I just saw. Yay, congratulations. Do you know which puppy you're going to keep yet as a keeper? Not yet. Okay. I'm guessing you probably still have to do structural evaluations and all that stuff. That's exciting. Congrats. Okay. What else is going on, guys? This is a quiet crowd tonight, guys. Okay, Amy, I just saw your comment in the chat box. Uh-oh, you're running the risk of keeping two keeper puppies.
Sarah, I have one more question for you. This is Karina again. So like I mentioned last week, we have two Chihuahuas and then we have the Cane Corso. One of our Chihuahuas, he's a Cairn Chihuahua mix, and he tends to herd the two when they're playing. He'll bark. You can hear him barking now. He barks at him. It's almost like he's trying to tell them to stop. And I mean, he gets really aggressive. I don't know how to stop him from doing it. Okay. I mean, they'll just start playing and it's like he goes over there and he tries to break it up and he gets mad at them.
Okay, so that's what I lovingly refer to. Some dogs are just that way, where they're basically the fun police. They're like nuns on the playground, you know.
Yes.
Everybody settle down. You're all having fun. Everybody settle down. And some dogs just are that way. And so what you can do to help kind of desensitize that particular dog is just having them on a leash and collar with you. And they're going to be watching the play. Distance is always our friend. So you might need to sit with that particular dog further away from the action, because then that's going to help that dog be successful with being calm, because it's going to be further away. And you're just going to be practicing a settle command. So long, slow pets, lower your tone of voice, slow your rate of speech while you're saying settle. Believe it or not, they do pick up on what this means. And you can be giving small rewards when that dog is being quiet and not straining to go and be fun police. So in other words, eventually what you want to get to is, you don't have to go and play like a maniac. That's fine. But you can't prevent them from having their appropriate fun. Okay? So you're going to be rewarding and teaching the calm from a distance, and then slowly you can decrease the distance and the proximity to the mayhem, to the fun. But it'll take a little while of kind of having that desensitization.
Okay. Yeah, it does. Yes. A lot of sense. Thank you.
Gotta love those fun police dogs.
Yeah.
I had one. Yeah. And eventually it was just, you know, we'd just tell her, go on, you get on the couch, of reminding her, you know, okay, you don't like it. That's fine. You don't have to partake, but then give yourself some distance. Give yourself some room so you're not in the middle of the action. And she did eventually learn that, but we would occasionally still have to remind her of, okay, go on the couch, hop, you know, so she's good. Not in the middle of the action.
Right. Yeah, because he does. I mean, they just start playing and he just runs over there and he just starts barking at them. And it's like, stop, leave him alone.
Yep. So yeah, you can just do that with structured play sessions. And if you don't have time to work on that settle and rewarding the calm behavior, go ahead and pop that older dog in a crate with a stuffed Kong so that he's getting something fun and rewarding for having his private quiet time, but, and you're not having to supervise it, but he's still going to be hearing the mayhem. So it's still going to be a little bit of a training session, but you're not going to have to be as actively engaged.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. What else is going on, guys?
I'll jump in. That's all right.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I missed everything. I just got here. I was on a Zoom client meeting. So I have no idea what's been discussed. My wife and I, we didn't get them yet, but a puppy yesterday that's being flown in from another state, from Florida to New York. And I haven't had a puppy in like 14 years. So, my last guy, he passed last year at about 14 years old. So it's just like, he's coming on Sunday. It just happened, you know, like you found the one and it's like, all right, get him here. And now I'm like scrambling for ordering everything under the sun. So I don't know, like, do I have everything that's at least, you know, what I need? And, you know, how do I not, you know, like mess this guy up, get him off to the right start.
All right. Well, you're already doing a great job of planning ahead before puppy arrives. So I would encourage you to go into the website for the training modules. You can start reading now. Your priorities are, of course, going to be reading the modules on potty training, house training, and crate training. And we also have a module that's kind of sectioned off that is like your puppy's first week home. And it also talks about the expectations that you can have as well. There is, and kind of embedded in there, hold on one second, I'm going to pull that up and make sure that I'm getting you to the right section. But there is a form that we always encourage people to kind of go through together as a family. And it's the house rules, so that you're both kind of on the same page as far as, like Laura was on earlier, and they both agreed that no, dog is not going to be on the bed, not going to be in our bed. Dog can be on the couch. That's fine. So just so that you kind of have everybody's on the same page in the house with rules and expectations, because if you've got one that's a sucker, that puppy's going to have a hard time learning. Okay, if the rules aren't always the same. So I'm trying to find that right page there. Yep. So if you go under training guides, there's the first day checklist, first week checklist, family worksheet. That's the one I was just talking about. And some goals that are realistic and practical for the first month that you can be tackling and accomplishing. And then there's also a sample planner of just some people who are horrible list makers, that you like to have like a little daily menu of what you can kind of plan for with puppies so that you can kind of fit it all in. Cause there is a lot to do, especially those first couple weeks. So you've got time now. I would start reading. And as far as equipment, you know, the big things are going to be, a crate that's going to be appropriately sized. Most of them come with the dividers now that you can expand as puppy grows. But most importantly, that you can make it smaller while puppy's small. And
yeah, I didn't think of that. So don't give it, because I bought the one that's going to fit his full size.
Okay.
Eventually.
Yep. Did you get a metal crate?
I did.
Okay. And has it arrived yet?
No. Okay.
Cause a lot of times they automatically come with those divider panels.
Okay.
Even if they don't list it as a selling feature, most of them do come with that. I have a feeling even that if you went on Amazon and from some of the major dog crate manufacturers, that you could probably even order one separately if it's not included, but crates with the divider so that you can be expanding as puppy grows, but most importantly, keeping it small initially.
It has it. I just looked.
Good. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. And, you know, your bowls, and I would just get a regular old flat buckle collar. That is going to be most appropriate for puppy. A lot of the ones, you know, are going to have the little snap on them, easy on and off. I would definitely do those. Those are easier. And just plain old 6-foot leash. And don't invest too much money in collars and leashes at this point, because A, they're going to grow out of them, and B, they are going to end up most likely with some chew marks on them through puppyhood. And you could also be reading in your modules, is it's in the section on teaching your puppy manners, and it talks about taglines. Tagline is something that we do recommend for puppy mouthing and biting behavior, to prevent or to work on puppies that are jumping up on people or counters, things like that. And we do not have them for sale anymore. When we were just with Avidog, we did have them options as for sale. So that is no longer an option, but they're easy to make. Go to Lowe's, go to Home Depot. You just want to get one of the clasps, like a regular leash clasp. You just want to make sure that it's going to be small enough so that it's not huge and heavy for puppy. And then you're just going to get a piece of like laundry cording. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the tagline is basically a leash without a handle on it. That's all it is. And puppy will drag it around so that you can do tagline corrections to interrupt mouthing behavior or et cetera. Okay. Other equipment. Depending on where you live, I would have things ready to go by the back door for those middle of the night potty training sessions, potty training trips. So, you know, have easy slippers or snow boots that are easy on and off. You can have a little cookie jar full of dog treats right there by the back door, flashlight potentially. And, you know, easy on and off coat for you, so that it's going to be not, it'll be a little more palatable for those 3 a.m. potty trips. And toys, stock up on your toys. We always recommend Kongs or some of the other stuffable toys that you can kind of smear peanut butter or banana or cream cheese in.
Yeah, I got a couple of those.
Good, 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 good.
And teething, like just things to chew on. And
And other things, you know, because there's toys, which are good and necessary, but there's also chews. Puppies have a biological, physiological need to chew and gnaw. And so one of our favorite companies is, I think it's Red Barn. And so they have everything. They have bully sticks. They have pig ears. They have tendons, and they're all American made. So the quality is going to be a little safer and better as far as where the protein is being sourced from. Let's see. Nancy. I was going to say, Nancy, do you want to jump in? Am I forgetting equipment or planning?
I just put something in that we've not really talked about, but I have found to be super easy to use for water, which is what all the show people use. It's the buckets that attach to the side of the crate, because the puppies knock the water bottle or the water pans out, or they play in it. And this just prevents a huge mess from occurring. I put links for both the bucket and the snap hooks. And I have golden retrievers, and I think my buckets are 2-quart, but they come in various sizes.
He's an American bulldog.
Okay.
So for the crate, sorry. So if I'm going to cut it down in size, right, to start off, how much space should he have?
So you want puppies to be able to stand up, turn around, and, you know, lay down. Note of, I will say, when I'm saying stand up, that does not necessarily mean that they are standing, you know, that they have their heads erect. Of course, when they're baby puppies, they're going to have lots of headroom in their crates. But you do definitely want to, I'm just looking at my dogs right now. And the biggest boy is in the smallest crate. My 100-pound boy is in a very tiny crate right now. You know, he fits, he has to duck to get in, but he can lay down and he likes it because it's cozy. So you just want to make sure that if you have any doubts, you can send pictures to me. Of the best angle is to stand over the crate with puppy in there so that I can see where the divider is at. And with puppy in there, you can always shoot me an email and be like, does this look good? Does this look appropriate? Because if we allow them too much space, obviously, then they've got room to go in the back of the crate and potty in the corner. So that's what we're wanting to avoid.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I got the, like a mat that fits the whole thing. So I would probably want to get then another smaller size.
It depends on how thick it is.
If the divider will sit on it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to depend on how thick that mat is.
Yeah.
Because like if it's something like a Primo pad, one of those non-destructible pads, those are usually fairly flat. And I think the divider might fit over it. And quite honestly, with very young puppies and, you know, you're starting your house training, you're starting your crate training, I don't invest any money for them in bedding because it's going to get destroyed. Chances are. So I'll even have like old pieces of comforter or fleece throw blankets that I don't care and they're cheap and it's just something for them to lay on.
I found that fleece works really well because they're less inclined to tear it up.
Okay. Yeah.
I end up covering a lot of my beds with a piece of fleece, sewing it over whatever the companies have because they can't destroy it then.
Yeah. Because it does tend to be with really young puppies, any of the beds that have cotton batting in them, or even like I was saying, I'll use old pieces of quilt. If they've got really fluffy cotton batting in them, that seems like a written invitation for puppies. That they will dig or chew to pull it all out. And that can be, of course, really dangerous if they're ingesting that, because that can be the GI impaction really quick. I think what else? Because we used to, we don't have it on the Good Dog page yet. That was part of the resources that's still on the Avidog website. And we're getting there, hopefully. But we actually had a list of recommended products of, hey, get started.
I saw it. It was like a gear list.
Oh, did they put it on there now?
That would be
fantastic.
Yeah, okay. I saw it. Yeah, I bought all of it.
Oh, excellent. Okay, good. I'm glad that's on there. I didn't know that on.
I saw.
You need enzymatic cleaner. For urine, right? So I've toyed around. I'm back to Simple Solution is my favorite. I think Nature's Miracle has changed their recipe and I don't think it's as effective anymore. And I don't like how it smells either. So Simple Solution. And in your modules, you can also scroll down to Puppy Health and Wellness. You can, of course, be planning ahead of get your vet schedule, your vet appointment scheduled, especially COVID, vets are backed up. So you want to get that scheduled now because it might take a little bit longer. And you can also be looking in the section on vaccinations so that you have a game plan of what you are going to be starting off with vaccinations based on what the breeder already gave. And so that way you can be an advocate for your puppy as well. We always recommend that you do not want to be going to the vet and having them feel like, I might not see you again for a year. So we're going to give your puppy all the vaccines possible in one appointment. That is not a good idea.
Yeah, she already told me about one to avoid, for sure. The leptospirosis.
Yep.
Which can cause, she said it can cause problems. They're too young and they're getting too much.
Mm-hmm. That one, because there are some parts of the country where lepto is a really big issue and it can have some significant health issues and risks as far as fatalities with it. So it is justified in some areas, absolutely. But if you're needing to give lepto, we always give that as a standalone. So it is in its own vet appointment and it is 2 weeks either before or after other vaccines, because yes, a lot of dogs will have reactions to lepto vaccines of just, they are just horribly itchy and even hives and inflamed, kind of swollen.
Yeah. As she was saying, push it for a while, but I wouldn't know how to get, you know, they could be telling me that the vet could just be trying to push whatever, you know, everything on me, but it's a regional thing.
It can, there are some parts of the country where it's way more prevalent. And so there are some areas where, yeah, you definitely want to be doing that. Lepto has also changed quite a bit. There are a lot of different strains of lepto out there, but the vaccine only covers some of them.
Right.
So even though you're vaccinated, your puppy could still have the chance of getting lepto. And lepto is transmitted usually through water, from a water source where wildlife has come through and they're transmitting their feces through water. And it used to be that it was just kind of like hunting dogs or farm dogs, really rural dogs that would get lepto, but that's not the case anymore. And if you think about wildlife, well, even if you live in a very urban city, you still have wildlife because you still have rats and squirrels and, you know, other stuff running around and rabbits.
Yeah. So, I'm in New York.
Okay. Yeah. So you could probably hold off on that one. Like your breeder said, because you've got other core vaccines that are going to be much more pertinent now, you know, the DHPP or the DAPP, those are going to be your core vaccines that you really want to be focusing on first, because that is going to be including distemper and parvo, both fatal. And unfortunately, the incidence of both of those is increasing. So getting those done, and once those, because there's a series of those, and once those are done, then it'll be time for rabies. But space them out 2 weeks in between and have a game plan before you have that vet appointment, so that you know exactly what you're wanting to do and what will be spacing out and waiting for another appointment.
Is it common for them to want to just hit all of them?
Depends.
Yeah. But if they do, do I just want to run away or just say, no, I want to space them out?
It depends what the reaction is going to be. Because, you know, it's your puppy and you are the advocate for your puppy's health. And so for me, I am very particular that I want a vet that is going to be kind of a partner with me. And so if you, you know, if you're scheduling that appointment, even when you're scheduling the appointment, sometimes you can get a sense of kind of the climate of that clinic and that practice. But during the appointment, you can just say, no, I don't want to do that. I want to space things out. Our priority today is to do that second DAPP and just to do a general wellness exam. And that's all we're going to have today. We'll be back, you know. And if they accept that and they're fine with that, okay. But if they really, really push or they ignore you, then yeah, I would be running away. And with the DAPP, what you're going to want to specify what your breeder had said is you're wanting DAPP or DHPP alone, no lepto. You will have to specifically say that.
So those two, so it would be essentially three separate times.
Yes, for DAPP.
And then the DA, the, what was the other one?
They're the same thing. Basically, the DHPP and DAPP is just kind of two different strains of it. Because let's see, one has a HEPA virus and one has adenovirus. So, and that can be a little bit regional as well.
Those they should get separate, or they get those one.
That's going to be like a combo booster.
Okay, and then the lepo, you're saying, right? So yeah.
So sometimes vets will have that combo booster, the DAPP or DHPP. It will also contain the booster for lepto. You do not want that.
Got it.
You want the standalone DAPP or DHPP. And also be kind of planning ahead as well, as far as, you know, it's winter, New York, you don't have to think about flea and tick medication or heartworm medication at this point.
Okay.
So you can kind of be planning ahead for that as well. Some vets will immediately start to push for that right off the bat as well, which it's winter, you're in New York. There are not fleas and ticks out right now.
So yeah, 20 degrees.
Right. And heartworm is transmitted by mosquitoes. You don't have mosquitoes going on either. And I'm trying to see if the other thing that I caution people as well of as far as the flea and tick medications, it drives me nuts. I don't know why vets are still pushing some of the combo oral medications that the FDA has flagged. The FDA has flagged them as being a huge risk of seizures. So you can go online and do a quick FDA flea and tick meds, and it'll pop up the list of probably ones that you do not want to be using. I think vets recommend them just because it's an oral pill. So it's easy for owners to give, and they only have to give one pill and then they're covered for 6 months. But
so what would be the ideal?
A lot of the older medications that have been around for years and years and years, they have more statistical, history of knowing how safe they are. A lot of these newer products that are brand new on the market, your puppy is the test market. Unfortunately, they are the guinea pig. So I don't want to use any of these brand new products that we don't know a lot about. So, for heartworm, it's HeartGuard. HeartGuard is the old stand and, tried and true. It's been around forever. So that one's very, very safe. And flea and tick, Frontline has lost a lot of its effectiveness, but there are some of the other topical products that are still fairly, fairly safe. So, and you've got some time, like I said, to go and research.
Yeah. That.
Alexandra, the shot. Yeah. That's in the same boat too, where it's one of the brand new products. I don't know. Are you, which brand name are you thinking of? You remember the brand name? Don't know it. Okay. So the same thing that I was saying to Lenny is that, you can just do a Google search for FDA flea and tick meds, and it will pop up and you can look at the actual product names of what is kind of advisory. It's right on there. So there are a couple of them, and they're usually the newer ones and the combos. And it makes me nervous anyway of, you know, one medication without a loading dose and it's supposed to last these puppies for 6 months.
That would have to be massive.
Exactly. And so it's there at the front end when you first dose it, they're getting a ton of that medication. You know, and the time, you know, like the time release, are you really covered at the end of the 6 months?
Right.
So, but you can do some research on that for both of you with flea and tick meds. So, giving you an earful there, Lenny, but I would say, yeah, just start, doing some reading now with all the modules. And it sounds like you've got lots of equipment already ready to go. And I think you were already on when we started talking about, you know, the chew toys. Red Barn is one of our favorites. And on the Facebook page from time to time, I will post little toys. And one that we talked about at the very beginning of the call is Z Hyper Pet, which is a little noise or vibration activated toy. You can find them on Amazon. They've got a little squirrel tail on them. My dogs love them.
I got that that heartbeat thing.
Oh, the snuggle puppy. Yeah. Good, you found that. That does definitely help. Also find kind of an inexpensive, cheap, opaque sheet that you're going to want to use as a cover to cover the crate. That's going to help you with your crate training.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. Good. Sounds like you are set. So, but call ahead about the vet because they are really backed up and it's hard to get appointments. If your vet is under COVID restrictions and not allowing owners in, I would actually, before that appointment, see if you can bring puppy to the vet and just have receptionist bring puppy in, love on them, give them some treats. They return puppy to you in the parking lot. So it's got no examination and no shot involved. Just, I'm out to meet some people at the vet clinic. So you're building good associations. And whether you're doing curbside service for that first vet appointment, or you are allowed to go into the clinic, until your puppy is fully vaccinated with DHPP, DAPP, I always carry my puppies into the vet.
Right. Don't put them on the ground.
Yeah. And you're going to want to avoid other areas that are highly, highly trafficked by dogs with unknown vaccination history. So you can go lots of other places for socialization. You know, parks, they can see kids, Lowe's, Home Depot, lots of places you can take a puppy in a cart. Like even Ulta doesn't care. I did that with one of our last litters. I was like, oh, I'm out of mascara. Okay. Brought puppies. And we're talking like six puppies from a litter. Brought a blanket, put it in the bottom of the cart, put the puppies in the cart, went into Ulta, found my mascara, which it took half an hour because everybody was loving on puppies. They don't care. So there are lots of options for socialization that are still going to be safe while your puppy is not fully vaccinated.
All right, good. Yeah, I mean, we have a yard too, so I don't really need to, you know, like walk him to where, because there's a lot of dogs in this neighborhood yeah, but the breeder told me the same thing about putting them on the ground.
Good.
He's going to be 8 weeks. So when I get him, I'm looking at Nancy, the link that you put for about the bucket. So you leave that in the crate?
Yes. It hooks to the side of the crate, depending on how high you want it. And they figure out very quickly how to drink out of that. And they generally don't knock it around. Haven't you found that, Sarah?
Especially there are the buckets that are, well, they're round in the front, but the back is flat.
Right.
So get those because then they rest flat against the crate wall and no, they don't knock them over and, you know, there'll be splashing while they drink, especially because you're getting a bulldog, there will be splashing of water coming out of the mouth, but they're not going to be dumping the whole water bowl.
Yeah. Goldens like to paw in the water and bubble in it and everything else. And this prevented water from being all over my hardwood floor.
Yeah, we have that too. Do you leave that? You leave that with them overnight? No, or no?
I wouldn't do it overnight while you're crate training.
Right.
And house training. They don't, you know, nighttime in your crate is for sleeping. You don't need to be getting up and getting a glass of water, you know, just like kids will try that, you know, of like, mommy, I want a glass of water. No, they're not thirsty. They just don't want to go to bed.
So when would you keep that? Would I not have that until later on, or just have it in there now, but during the day?
During the day.
I had it in from the time my puppies came home at 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's what they learned to drink out of. Now I also have dog bowls out, you know, in the kitchen, but it's amazing how they will go into the crate to get a drink of water over going to the dog bowls half the time.
So Lenny, it's just another option that you know, you have your food bowl, you have your water bowl for puppies, but because when they're puppies, they're not trustworthy with destruction or with house training. So they are spending quite a bit of time in the crate. So it is a good idea to have a water source for them available when they're in the crate too.
Yeah. Got it. All right. So size wise,
Nancy is a 2 quarts. I actually get the 1 quart, which is ridiculously small for my dogs. Yeah. But my dogs have this really annoying habit with each other of that the water has to be clean. So even if it's their own spit, right? So if I get a 2 quart, you know, they're only going to drink a certain amount before the water is too spitty and I need to change it anyway. So I just get the smaller size because then it's not getting spitty as fast.
Well, I have the 2 quart and they do go through it, but you do have to make sure to take them out and wash them.
Yeah.
Just to do your dog bowls because they can get pretty nasty.
Yeah. And that does make a difference of, you know, the hard water deposit, slime scale, or just kind of the algae slime. Yeah. You need to wash them, not just refill them because that's understandable, but yeah, they'll be picky with that as well.
All right, so add that to my cart. Okay. Simple solution, I got that.
Excellent.
Which there's extreme. There's hard. There's so much stuff.
I know. I don't know if there's much of a difference. You just want the one that's going to be the enzymatic cleaner that you can use on carpet, on rugs, and that you can throw into the washing machine if any bedding has urine on it.
So, okay. So it just needs to say that, right?
Mm-hmm. And all of them are, but just be careful because some of them are actually like carpet cleaners, like foam, like scrubbing foam kind of stuff, or that you put into a carpet shampooer. That's not what you want.
Right, right. Yeah, I grabbed the, let me see. I put it in the chat.
Enzymatic from bacteria. Yep, that looks good.
All right, cool.
That looks like that's the winner. The usual stuff.
All right. I'm just going to blame all the new, this extra stuff to my wife on you guys. So I appreciate it.
Well, we're not really mentioning things that are kind of excessive.
Yeah.
It's better off to be prepared.
And of course.
Just have extras.
Wait until he gets into the conversation about supplements and everything.
Oh yeah, I'm that with myself. So.
Oh, then you're really gonna be hiding the bill on the supplements that your dogs get, because there are a lot, but they're good. You know, yeah. Just like they are helpful and beneficial for us, it does make a difference with the dogs too. So.
I don't know where I read it, but about putting some like extra probiotic on the food for like now, especially because they're going to be, it's like stressful with the change and everything. So I ordered like just some vet probiotic powder.
Yeah. And I'll put in there. The two kind of favorites in the chat box. Whoops. Those are kind of the two favorites that most breeders will use and appreciate and kind of have stuck with, seen the best results from, and price point wise that seem kind of the most cost effective as well. Because with the probiotics, you do have to get ones that are specifically made for dogs. Ortiflora. Yeah, no, I always get that wrong. It's not Beneflora. Nancy's right. So wait, Ortiflora is the Purina one. What's the other one I'm thinking of, Nancy? I've got the name wrong.
She recommended Probios. Probios.
Okay. Not familiar with that one.
Vet plus digestive powder.
Okay. If it's specifically for dogs, you're probably in good shape then. Because just, you know, dogs' GI tracts, their enzymes, digestive enzymes, are so much more powerful than ours. So that if you give a dog a human grade probiotic, you're just flushing money down the toilet. It's not going to get where it needs to be. So probiotics, yes, absolutely. That is going to definitely help keep that GI system on track with stress and just food changes and with training treats, because there's going to be a lot of training happening initially. And related to that, you might want to make sure that you have rice and canned pumpkin on hand. That can help soothe bellies, upset bellies, if we've got some soft poops going on. And otherwise, supplements, I think the other two big ones that most people will do is some sort of fish oil and then some sort of joint supplement. And there's a lot of different options there.
Fish oil to mix into the food as the oil itself.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, you're going to have, I'm not remembering product names. Grizzly. What is it called? It's just grizzly oil, isn't it? For the fish oil. I'm going to have to pull up my Amazon account. But that is one that a lot of people like. I don't know what you use, Nancy. And for joint supplements, the one that I've switched to recently that I'm really liking, and I can definitely see a difference in my old girl, is Dasaquin. Dasaquin is one, I can't remember it's grizzly something or other for the fish oil.
Dasaquin, okay, the soft chews or the towel or whatever. Either one
for the Dasaquin. I get the chews, and then the Carlson Super Gems, that's another one for the fish oils that people really, really like. And that one's nice because it's the like capsules, right Nancy? Yeah, because the grizzly product is in a jug with a pump on it, so that can be kind of a pain.
And it's very fishy and leaves the dog smelling very fishy.
Yes, they definitely have salmon smelling breath.
Which one?
The grizzly.
All right, so we're just going to delete that. All right. And then
Charleston ones are nice though too, because they are kind of a pill form, so that even if you're traveling, your dog is still getting the fish oil because they're easy to transport.
So I see the joint one. They're all this Dasaquin with MSM, and then one without. Do you know which one you use? Is it yellow or is it a bluish bag?
Well, I've got the large, like, advanced, and so my bottle is orange, but it does have the MSM.
Oh, advanced. Okay, I see it.
Because I think the advanced is the one that has the MSM in it.
Advanced soft shoes.
Yeah.
Esther, what's this?
And Esther C. Yep. So thanks, Nancy. Yeah. So Esther C is another one that a lot of us will give. And the thinking is kind of, it almost ends up kind of being like a joint lubricant in a way. But the thing that it really does seem to help, especially with developing fast growing puppies, are going to be things like their pastern joints and their feet and even their ears. Because as they're teething and their teeth are setting into their molar, their molars are setting to the jaw, their ears can start doing really weird things. And so the Esther C just kind of helps that really fast growth and kind of keeps it, I don't know, even keeled. The feet stay better. They don't get splayed feet. The pasterns don't knuckle over. So that can really help as well. And with the Esther C, it's for that one, I just give human grade. I don't know what you do, Nancy. I just get human grade, like from Puritan's Pride or something. And with that one, you don't really have to worry about dosages with it because it's not a fat soluble. So whatever's excess, they're just going to void out. And so when my dogs are very young, I actually am giving them an incredibly massive dose. Like they're getting like 2000 mg's a day. And you might have to build up to that because the only thing is it can cause loose stools until they're used to it.
Let's see.
And the Pro Balance. Yep. So Pro Balance that Nancy's mentioning is just a multivitamin, basically.
What is this? Oh, okay, I see it. So much stuff. I never gave any of my dogs any of this stuff before. So much.
Well, and Nancy and I are both breeders, so we,
Yeah.
have tried different things and talked to lots of other dog people. And these are ones that, as far as specific products, like brands and what's just seemed to really be beneficial for dogs. But especially the probiotic, I'm glad you are going to start that right away. That will help.
Yeah. So you would go with everything else right away as well?
I would. Yeah. definitely the Esther C and the fish oil and the probiotic and, you know, even in the wellness, just the multivite. Yeah.
And what about
the joint supplement? Yeah. You know, just some of them I get a little bit nervous about, some of the other brands, because they have a lot of extra stuff in them. And I'm, you know, kind of hesitant with young puppies and delicate tummies. But the Dasaquin, I've never heard of anybody having stomach issues with their dogs of giving Dasaquin right away.
So I guess you guys gave me a ton of stuff. So I'm loaded up with reading and I have like 100 tabs open right now. I guess the last thing would be for their actual food. would you go off of for any reason what they've been feeding all their dogs? Is it worth it?
Go with what the breeder's been using, especially because your breeder does sound like she's doing a great job and she knows what she's doing and she's already given you a ton of information. She knows what works for her dogs.
Yeah. Okay.
I would stick with whatever she's recommending. And that's also not just for nutritional reasons, but also just so that you're kind of on this even keel and puppy's not having to adjust to a new food.
Yeah, she gives them all the same thing. Like the puppies, the adults, they all get the same. Like she doesn't do puppy food, for example. She said she doesn't like it. Yeah.
I don't either.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. So I already ordered a 40-pound bag, so.
Nope, that sounds good. And if your breeder hasn't thought of this, in addition to the snuggle puppy, mm-hmm. If you could request, I have a feeling just from everything else you've said, she'll probably already do this, but that she's going to include like a dish towel or a cheap little fleece blanket that is going to come to you with the smells of mama and litter mates.
Yep. Two blankets.
She's a good breeder. Excellent. That is going to help you that first night. And it's really cute. I have talked to some of my puppy people that these dogs are 10 and they still have their baby wubba blankets that they carry around and they're so threadbare, but they still have them. They haven't destroyed them. Those are their special little blankets.
Yeah, she seems really good. I mean, I talked to her for an hour last night. She's got a Facebook group full of all her owners all over the country. And, you know, she flies with the dogs herself, her or like her daughter. So her daughter's the one flying up to us, you know, on Sunday with him. And, you know, obviously, you know, she came from this website, you know. So just, I feel confident in everything. And she just hit me with so much stuff. And a lot of things that you guys are reinforcing as well, you know, with that. So I'm confident in that we got, you know, good support and everything. So it's just, we don't mess it up. That's, you know, that's the thing.
You won't. And also puppies are very forgiving and they're very malleable. So even if we do mess something up totally, we can start all over and they don't hold grudges.
Yeah. Cause the next thing was to get to hire a trainer, you know, but I wasn't sure, you know, if that's, you know, an investment that's totally, you know, worth it, you know, like a private thing.
That's going to be up to you. I prefer to find good group classes for my puppies, especially as puppies, so that they can have good, positive, structured off-leash play with other puppies. Because even though I've had my own training business, I know how to train the things, but I still want to go to that group class environment so that they're getting that socialization and they're getting practice of working around distractions, learning new things around distractions. So I purposely look for good group classes that I can.
Yeah, I found those for sure. But like that person, for example, also does like everything, you know, like on a private level as well. So the group things are 100%, you know, we definitely want to do that because that, you know, we want to bring him pretty much everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so it's yeah. So I would say that you're going to get, you know, a lot of ideas on what to work on from our modules and group classes are going to give you ideas on how and what you want to work on and the opportunity. And then I would just say you've got the option of doing private lessons if you have a problem or you have a specific need. You know, I want to teach my dog how to do this and I can't figure out how to do it. Then you can always have that option as a resource, but I don't think you necessarily need to. you know, kind of as a necessity.
It's also a time to bond with your dog when you're doing the training, as opposed to the trainer training you to train the dog.
Right.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So I would say just start off with what you've got right now. You've got plenty on your plate. Then if you need private lessons for any reason, you can always schedule those. I don't think you'll need to, because even, you know, I know this is your first coaching call, but we'll talk a lot about a lot of behavioral stuff. So you've got us, you know, you've got this puppy program as a resource. So definitely do find the Facebook page, Good Dog Puppy Program Facebook page. A lot of people will put questions on there. And also, you know, just putting cute brags and photos. We always like that as well. So we have, you know, some of the questions on there are for puppies that are, you know, they're adolescents. They're over a year of age, and it's a completely different behavioral issue than a 10-week-old puppy, Nancy.
Right.
And we'll talk about those, and we'll brainstorm and give suggestions and advice. Then if you look up at the top of the very, very top of the chat box in that feed, my email address is there as well. And that's part of your enrollment in this program, in the puppy program. So you can always email me privately for questions or concerns as well. So you've got lots of resources between coaching calls, recordings of past coaching calls, Facebook and email. Like I said, I don't think you'll need private lessons.
I scroll to the top, but it only takes me to where I first came in.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I will put it in here again.
Got it.
Got it. All right. Awesome.
This was fun and extremely helpful. Wow. I catch my wife up and all this stuff. The Dasiquin, that's from the vet, right? It has to be.
That one you do need a prescription for, and most vets have, you know, they're kind of online pharmacy, so to speak. Uh-huh. And so once you get it approved from your vet, I have mine just on an auto ship. So it's just automatically billing my card, and I get, you know, two more bottles every, I think we last 4 weeks, two bottles.
Okay, perfect. And everything else I can get. Is that the only thing that's prescription, I think, that we talked about?
There is a website that was on the original Avidog page or information that I'll put in the chat where you can actually get the Dasiquin Advanced. It looks like they're out of the under 60 pounds right now.
I had problems last time I tried to order from that, Nancy.
Have you
tried recently?
Well, yeah. I was able to get, or I have an order for the over 60 pounds.
Okay.
For two of mine, but the other, my girl needs under 60 pounds, and they're apparently out.
Okay.
So that they get it for the weight that they they currently are, not what they're going to be.
Currently.
Yes.
Their existing weight. Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just put the link in, you know, I don't know what the problems were, but you certainly should be able to get it from your vet.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember what I think the problem that I was having is that they were constantly out of the correct dosing size that I needed. And also what they were charging me in shipping was atrocious. I think that's what it was. I can't remember. Maybe that's changed.
So you guys do these monthly or what? It's these calls?
The calls are once a week.
Oh.
So our next call is going to be on Thursday, January 20th at noon Eastern time. And the calls are always recorded so that you can always go and watch the recordings of previous calls. And I'm taking notes so that there's timestamps so that you can kind of navigate and find specific topics that might be of interest in each call. So that's on the website as well.
Are those in the learning center or where is
it? That is in, I always have to think about where it's at on the Good Dogs site. Since we're transitioning, that is, if you're just under the puppy training program courses page, it's, you're going to be looking for coaching.
Get coaching?
Get coaching. Yep. So you can do coaching sign up. So that's going to be for the future coaching calls. And if you, there's also a link for the Facebook page. And then if you scroll down, it's going to list all the recordings of previous calls.
Yep, I got it. All right, cool. Perfect. Email. All right. Don't mark this. All right, I got my homework. I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, Sunday's the big day. Excited Thank for you.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Sure.
And wow, I have kept you guys long tonight. Any other questions? Charlotte, you've been really quiet tonight. Hope things are going well. Alexandra, anything else? Questions, concerns? Okay, well, we'll go ahead and we'll wrap this up for tonight then. Thank you very much. Happy training in the meantime. I'll catch you on email. And let's see, catch you on email or the Facebook page or next week coaching call Thursday, the 20th at noon Eastern time. All right. Good night, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.